As we continue our series tonight on 1 Timothy, we turn tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Last week we considered out of the first two verses of the chapter the beautiful truth that the church is a family, the family of God, the same father and the same elder brother. And now we see the instruction that flows out of that in verses 3 through 8 in the care of the widows within the church. In that connection, though, we'll read the entire chapter. 1 Timothy 5. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. And thus far we read God's word. As I said, the text tonight is verses 3 through 8. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the preaching. Father, again in our worship, we come before thy word and the preaching of the gospel. We're thankful for the scriptures that are given to us, that instruct us in all things that are good and right. They teach us the things that we are to believe for the strengthening of our faith. And they teach us as well the way that we are to live, and even teaches the church how we are to live in relationship to one another. So we pray that Thou will bless the Word as it goes forth and grant us strength to receive it and grant us strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to live by it. We give thanks in this night especially for the gift of widows. May the widows in the church and widowers as well be encouraged by the Word, but also may this remind us of the calling and responsibility that we have towards those who are in need within the congregation. And may we be a people who are helping one another. Lead us and guide us then tonight, and grant us strength to hear this in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that Thy servant may preach it in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw last week, in those beginning verses of the chapter, the beautiful reality that the church is a spiritual family. We're a spiritual family. Hudsonville Protestant Reformed Church is a family. We are a family because we have the same Father, our Heavenly Father. We have the same elder brother, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved us from our sins. We have the same Spirit who's working within us, the same spiritual DNA, as it were, because of that work of the Spirit, and because that's true. We saw the calling and responsibility that we have to honor those who are older than us in the church. We saw as well the calling that we have to care for those who are younger within the church. And that's because we are to see one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. I call your attention to this tonight, not simply because it's good at the beginning of a sermon to review the context, but because the instruction that follows in the text that we're looking at tonight follows from what we heard last week and what we have in these beginning verses. The instruction that we have here in the text tonight is based on the reality that we are, as a church, a family in Jesus Christ. And because we are family, we take care of those members that are in need. And in a very specific way, we take care of those members that are in need because they are bereaved of their spouse. We're to care for the widows and also the widowers of the church. But it's not just them that we care for, but we care for all those who are in difficult and trying circumstances, helping one another and providing for one another in that time of need. But that is seen in a very specific way with the calling that we have to care for the widows. That's what the text says. It begins in verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. So with that in mind, we consider the text tonight under the theme, honoring the widows. We notice first honoring who. So who are these widows? And especially because the text says widows indeed. Secondly, honoring how. How are we to honor them and care for them? And then finally, honoring why. Why are we called to do this? As I said, the text in verse 3 says that we are to honor widows that are widows indeed. Or we could read it this way, honor widows that are really widows. Meaning, really widows that are in need. Widows that are in need physically for the care of the church. But along with that, these widows that are widows indeed are widows who are sound spiritually. They are godly widows. And so we see from the text the two parts then of this first point. Who are the widows that we are to honor? Well, they are the widows that are in need and the widows as well that are godly because of the grace of God. Notice first of all that the text emphasizes widows that are in need physically. That reminds us tonight that we are to remember what a widow is. A widow is a woman who is married, but her husband has died. She is bereaved of her husband. And then to a certain extent, we can see and understand that this applies to the widowers of the church, especially what I am about to say. The widow is one in the church who has experienced the joys of marriage. She experienced that marriage is a one flesh union. She lived one life with her husband as long as God gave that husband to her. They shared one life. They lived one life. They learned to love and serve each other. They grew together. They prayed together. They read the Word of God together. They confessed sin to each other. They learned to forgive one another. They grew closer and closer as long as they were together, whether that was a few years or that was 50 years or over 60 years in marriage. They enjoyed together the intimacy and the closeness of marriage. That is exactly what made losing the spouse so difficult. They enjoyed that for so many years and then that was gone. Because the Lord took her husband, and thinking of the widowers, the Lord took that man's wife. And so she is without the one whom her soul loved and still loves. And that's hard and difficult. And there are many who've lost spouses and said that when they lost their spouse, it was like half of them died, half of them was gone. Because they understood and experienced that marriage is that one flesh union. But that's not always the experience of widows. Sometimes the experience of a widow is that the marriage wasn't very good. And the marriage wasn't very close. And there wasn't much peace in their marriage. There are some marriages like that within the church as well. And that's hurtful. Even though there might even be some relief that the husband is gone, still it's painful to think about a marriage that was not what God called it to be. And you have those widows within the church as well. That's the sorrow of widowhood. But now the text speaks of widowhood from a practical, pragmatic concern. And that is, widows may struggle financially then because the husband was the breadwinner. He was the one who worked and provided for his wife. And now, because he is gone, the wife is left. And maybe if there is a young family, the children are left as well. And there's no financial support for her and for her family, or they didn't have much to begin with, and even after many years of marriage, she is alone now, and she has no one to provide for her. And so the text here is speaking of the widow that finds herself in these circumstances. Notice that in verse 4. This is the widow indeed. If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. In verse 4, when it refers to children or nephews, really, literally, it's children and descendants, children and offspring. So it's not technically nephews. It might be children and grandchildren, or it might be nephews and nieces as well who are related. So that the idea is children or other relatives who can support her and care for her needs. Let's see and understand here. When it speaks of that in verse 4 and then later in verse 8 as well, when it says, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, it's not saying here that the widows could be a great burden upon the church, so therefore family ought to first take care of the widows. That's not at all the idea. The church is very willing to help those who are in need, and in particular, the widows of the church if they are in need. But the idea here is that the family has responsibility. They have a calling. They are to care for their own. Having a mother or having a grandmother who is a widow is an opportunity for the family to serve. To serve that loved one. Especially because it is parents who take care of children, who not only teach and instruct their children, who take care of the physical needs of their children. And then the opportunity comes possibly later on in life that the children step up, the grandchildren even step up, and they provide for their mother, for their grandmother, or even for their father or their grandfather who is in need. And in that way, they show reverence. That's the idea of piety there. They're to show reverence. They're to honor that widow who is in their own family. And also, they're to provide. That's the idea of the second part. And to requite their parents. The word requite there has the idea of repay. Their parents took care of them. Now it's their turn to take care of this parent who is in need. Now, this needs to be heard in our day. It needs to be heard in our day because there are children and there are grandchildren who are negligent in this regard. I'm not pointing the finger at anyone. I'm saying in the world in general, you find such negligence at times because the care of those in need, and particularly the care of those in need in their own family, it gets in the way of their own selfish pursuits. They want the things of this world. They want more and more, and they're living for those things. And they're living maybe month by month and not saving as good stewards the things that God has provided for them. And then when there is a need like this, they expect others to take care of that. And that must not happen within our homes, within our families, and then within the church as well. Caring for a widow in the family financially is very important. And so we see that idea here that there are widows who can be cared for by their families. These are not the widows who need to be cared for then financially by the church. So in contrast to these widows who have family to supply their needs, the real widows are those who are desolate. They're forsaken. They don't have anybody to provide for them. This might be because they're older and they cannot work. It's interesting that in verse 9 of the passage, it speaks of a widow who is under 80 years old, so under 60 years old. So in contrast to widows who are older, and maybe those older widows cannot work and provide because they are older. Or it could be that a widow cannot provide for herself because she has a young family. And she's busy with that. She has to be a mother to those children. And there may not be a man or others, even in the family, who can provide for her needs. And so, the text is saying God supplies those needs through the church. The church is to care for them, through the deacons especially, but also in other ways. So widows indeed are the widows who are in need, because they don't have the care and the support, not only of a husband, but of family around them. Secondly, true widows are those who are godly and sound spiritually. These are the widows who are to be honored and cared for. So we understand what it means that they are to be sound spiritually, that they are to be godly by way of contrast. Look at verse 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. There it's saying this kind of a widow is not a godly widow, and therefore she is not cared for by the church. The idea here is that it's a widow who lives for pleasure. It's not referring here to a widow who might be wealthy. It might be that there is a widow who has plenty because her husband worked hard and he prepared and made sure that her needs would be supplied in case something happened to him. That's not what this is about. But instead, this is referring to a widow who lives for herself, who lives for the kingdom of this world. She lives for what she wants to do, for whatever makes her feel good and happy. Maybe she's a promiscuous widow. Maybe she's a widow who enjoys partying and going out and spending time at parties and in the world. She's a widow who hangs out at the bars. The idea here is that such a widow is dead spiritually. She is a woman who is impenitent in her sin. She would even see her widowhood as a good thing because she's been set free from her husband and she can do what she wants. She can live as she pleases in the world. And such a woman who lives that way is not to be honored and cared for by the church. She is not worthy of support within the church. And now that's an important principle, I believe, as well, even for the deacons in their work. That shows that when there are those who live constantly and penitently in their sin, at some point they will not be cared for by the church anymore because of their sin. Now, instead of widows who are like that, the widows who are to be cared for in the church are those who are godly and sound spiritually. Now, that doesn't mean that a widow earns, that she earns support within the church by being godly. No, it's simply stating fact here. The widows that are cared for are godly widows, and that's an encouragement to the widows of the church and widowers of the church as well to be godly in their lives because that is right before God. And notice the description of that in the passage. Verse 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, she's been forsaken, trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. What a contrast to the woman who lives for pleasure. This is a godly widow. She trusts in God. The death of her husband has driven her to God to find hope and refuge in Him. And she prays day and night. She's constantly in prayer. She's regularly in prayer because she knows that God is her help and her strength. She knows that God is her refuge and her strength. He is her help in her time of great trouble and the sorrow of the loss of her husband and the life that she now lives. She's trusting in God and looking to Him for everything that she needs. And then also in that light, notice the description that's found in verse 10. This widow who is well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. That's the way a widow is to be within the church, godly in that way. And that widow is to be cared for. We have even in the Scriptures a beautiful example of such a woman. Think of Anna, that woman who held baby Jesus before she died and in her old age. We read of her in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 and 37. We read there, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." There was a godly widow. Had lived without her husband much longer than she had actually lived with him. And yet she was a woman regularly in fasting and in prayer. These are the widows who are to be cared for by the church. And we see here what it is that godly women in the church are to be like. And we should see that such women are to be admired within the church and encouraged within the church. And so it's not just the widows. We think of women who are abandoned, mistreated by their husbands, and because of that, they're alone and desolate as well. We can think of them tonight as well. And in that desolation and loneliness, she turns to God, trusts in Him, trusts in His promises. And men who find themselves in those circumstances as well. What a beautiful word for all of them. But now the text says about these widows that they are to be honored. They are to be honored. We consider how they are to be honored. They are to be honored by provision and tender care. They're to be honored by provision and tender care. Widows, these kind of widows, they're to be honored. What exactly does that mean? Well, honor has the idea of looking up at someone in contrast to looking down your nose at someone. And so the text is telling us when it comes to widows within the church, we are not to look down our noses at them. We see those who are desolate and forsaken in the church. They are not to be looked down on. They are not simply to be the objects of our pity. We shouldn't think of them as a burden within the church or a burden within our family because we have to financially support them or care for them or give extra attention to them. They're not to be looked down in any way as second-class citizens within the kingdom or within the church. Now you might say, that would happen? And if you say that, I'm thankful for that. It should be totally contrary to the way in which we think that we would ever think of despising or looking down on widows. But the reality is in the world today, that happens. You may be reading the news about scams that target elderly people, and you think about widows in that regard too. They receive a phone call from somebody and they claim that they need something and that they ought to pay hundreds or thousands of dollars for that, and she's scared of that and so sends that money off, and there's that scam. They prey on those kinds of people. They look down on them. We say, well, in the church, that wouldn't happen within the church. Well, you look at the history of the people of Israel. And when they were worshiping idols, and when they were walking in sin like the world around them, you know what they were doing? They weren't taking care of those who were in need. They weren't taking care of the widows. And not only were they not taking care of them, they were taking advantage of the situation. So that those who were poor and those who were widows, they were enslaving them to do the things that they wanted to do so that they could get richer. That was going on within the Old Testament church. And so we need this warning as well. We are called here to honor widows. We're to look up to them. We're to respect them. Because we see them in the light of the fact that they are part of our family in Jesus Christ. Widows are to be treated with very high regard, as God has placed them in our families and within the church. Now, striking when we see that this is not something new in Scripture. When you start looking in Scripture, you see the emphasis that God places upon honoring widows and those who are in need. God Himself is the Father of the fatherless and the judge of the widows, as we sang in that versification of Psalm 68. God tells us throughout His Word that the widows in the church are under His special care and protection. That tells us we ought to honor widows because God speaks this word. Not only that, but in the Old Testament, God provided for the widows then. Kids, you are familiar with the story of Naomi and Ruth, and how God provided for them. God provided through the gleaning in the fields at the harvest time. And there were also tithes that were given in Old Testament Israel for the widows within Israel, for those who were in need. God said already to the Old Testament church, honor those who are widows indeed. We also read that God blesses those who help and honor the widows. That's found in the Old Testament. I call your attention just to one of those passages, Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah 1 verse 17. We read, "Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow." We see and understand not only that this was important to God, but because it was important to God, it was important to our Lord Jesus Christ. We see His special care and compassion upon the widows during His ministry. An example of that is found in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. We read there in verses 11 and following, "And it came to pass the day after they went into a city called Nain. Many of His disciples went with Him, and much people. Now when He came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And He came and touched the bier, and they that bare Him stood still. And He said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and He delivered him to his mother." Our Lord Jesus Christ had compassion upon this widow, who is also bereaved of her son. And we remember also in the early church, remember that the Grecian widows were forgotten, and that was why the Lord Jesus Christ made sure that deacons were instituted within the church, so that the widows would not be forgotten within the church. All of this goes to emphasize that God Himself has emphasized throughout Scripture the calling of the church and the calling of families to honor widows among them. And then there's James 1, verse 27, that says, "Pure religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless, and the widows." The widows are to be honored, and they're to be honored by caring for them in love. That's what verse 8 tells us. "But if any provide not for his own..." So the idea is, widows that are in need must be provided for. That's the calling and responsibility that we have when we honor these widows who are in need, because according to Galatians 6, verse 2, we bear one another's burdens. That's fulfilling the law of Jesus Christ, the calling to love one another. So in a very real and particular way, we care for the widows by caring for their physical needs. There might be different situations and different circumstances, whether a widow is young or she is older, but whatever those circumstances are, the widows are to be cared for financially. But that's not the only way. The widows are to be cared for by comforting words, by visits, comforting words from Scripture in their difficulties and in their hardships. When they're lonely, the church family steps in and provides comfort for them, but also visiting them and being near unto them. Because we're a family, we help those who are in need. And we bring them the hope and comfort that can only be found in the Word of God. As we consider this calling to honor the widows and the way in which we do that financially, but also with comforting words from Scripture and with our visits, the question follows, who must do this? And we put these things together here. Who must do this? Well, we see that what is emphasized in the text is that this is the calling of the entire church. But as we see that this is the calling of the entire church, we break this up a bit into the different parts or ways in which this happens. Who does this? Well, first of all, this is the calling of families. That's an important principle here, that for financial provision of those who are in need in the church, that families first have a calling and responsibility toward their family members who are in need. Families have a calling to take care of each other financially. This should not be viewed as any kind of a burden. Parents, I hope we don't look at it as a burden that we take care of the financial needs of our children. Maybe sometimes we give the impression that that's the case. Well, you grow out those shoes again. You got holes in them again. I got to buy you another pair of shoes. Got to buy you more pants. As if we don't want to care for them. We have to be careful in what we say and how we say those things as well. But we see and understand here that one of the top priorities we have financially is caring for the needs of family. And that means also the widows and the widowers within the church and those who are without the support of a husband who is to take care of them. And that's why deacons will remind families of that. And those who are in need will be gone to families. Not because the church doesn't want to help. It's because of this principle. Families are called to help each other. Families are also called to help each other by visiting, caring for mother or grandmother, father or grandfather, uncle or aunt, who is bereaved of husband or wife or has some other hardship in their lives. And I know that's the thinking within the church. We go and visit. We take our children to visit as well. We spend time with them. In fact, I would say this is more important than taking our kids to the soccer games and the basketball games and all the other things, that we're going and visiting grandma and grandpa, mom and dad, wherever it may be within the church. So it's the calling of family. Secondly, it's the calling specifically of pastors and then deacons. So this is a word that comes from Paul to Timothy as the pastor in the church in Ephesus. And tonight I'm reminded of the calling that I have as well, to visit the widows and the widowers, to bring comforting words from Scripture, to comfort those in the congregation who are in need. But also it's the calling of the deacons to visit. And we can be thankful that our deacons do that twice a year. They have a schedule that they make, and the deacons go out and visit the widows and the widowers of the church. Not only to find out if there is any financial need that they might have, but also to bring comforting words of Scripture to them, to read Scripture, to pray with them, and to visit with them, and find out the needs that they have. This is a calling of the deacons within the church. But also, this is the calling for the entire church. We shouldn't think tonight, well, pastor and deacons, they're the ones who do this. No, the church does it because we are a family. We take care of the widows in the church, and that means financially we do that. Part of the way in which we do that is the collections that are taken for benevolence. And that way we provide for those who are in need within the church. But also we provide for them by going and visiting these widows and widowers of the church, spending time with them, getting to know them, encouraging them, with singing with them, or in prayers with them, or bringing the Word of God to them. Visiting those who are in need, we should remember, is part of true and undefiled religion. We have seen, as we've gone through this book of 1 Timothy, the importance of doctrinal accuracy and purity. We've seen the importance of orthodoxy within the church in what we confess and what we hold to. That is important in the church, but it is not the only thing that is important in the church. In fact, just as important is that we live what we confess, and we live what we confess by caring for those who are in need within the church. There's the danger in our day that with churches who have so many programs going on and things they want to do, that they neglect those who are in need within their midst. And there's that danger with us as well, even with the size that we have, that we are neglecting those who are in need. A healthy and strong church is a church that is caring for the family members that are in need. I'm thankful that in our church that's being taught to our children. It's being taught in the boys' group and the girls' group that meet, and they do things for the elderly and with the elderly. This is an idea that was thrown out as well for our Bible study groups and our combined Bible study. And our groups ought to think about that when they're assigned and we get together for Bible study Wednesday night. For those who are part of that, we ought to think about alternating. Maybe on the other Wednesday night where we don't meet, maybe we can get together and go visit some people or sing with some people in the homes or some of the widows and widowers of the church, so that we can do that together and encourage each other in this calling and responsibility that we have. Young peoples can think about that as well as the Young People's Society. And also the Activities Committee, I know, has talked about bringing back the time of singing with some of the elderly in the church, going to the nursing homes, maybe on a Sunday afternoon or during the week as well, like we do in the Christmas season. Those are all ways in which we can implement this within the church because we are called to honor these widows. Now, why? Why must we do this? We go to verse 8 first of all. Verse 8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Here's the reason. If we don't do this, we deny the faith and we're worse than unbelievers. That's what an infidel is, and that's the word there. We're worse than an unbeliever. We might think that it's an awful thing within the church to teach false doctrine. And it would be an awful thing within the church to teach false doctrine. It would be a denial of the faith. We've already seen that in this book. But notice the strong language here. If we don't take care of our own, in families or in the church, we're denying the faith. Can anything worse be said of us than that we deny the faith? That's how serious this calling is. We wouldn't think of denying the truth of total depravity or the truth of particular atonement. To do such a thing would be a denial of the faith. But will we do that with the care of the elderly in the church and the widows in the church? Or we have neglected. We must repent. I must repent as well. But not only that, the text goes on to say, if we don't do this, we're worse than unbelievers. How can that be? Well, it's because even unbelievers in the world understand a sense of duty towards their parents and towards their grandparents. And it may be that we will find, and you do find in the world, unbelievers who take care of their own. They're devoted to their own. If we don't, we're worse than they are, of course. Because here they are, they don't know the love of God, they don't know this reality of the church's family, and yet they're caring for their own. What a black spot that brings upon the church. How awful that is within the church. We are worse than unbelievers. That tells us we don't really understand the Christian religion. So this, first of all, is why we must do this. It's to deny the faith. If we don't, and makes us worse than unbelievers. The second reason that we must honor widows in the church and those in need is that God calls us to. God Himself cares for the widows and those who are in need. And I won't repeat myself here. It's just bringing back to the foreground what we already notice about the whole of Scripture. God emphasizes this in His Word to the church and says, take care of your own. Because this is important to me. If it's important to God, then it's important to His church. And then finally we do this because this is what family does. It takes us right back to the beginning of the chapter. This is what family does. It's part of being in a family. Family not only lives with one another, but they take care of each other. That's what we saw last week. Family honors the other members of the family. We honor those who are older. We take care of those who are younger. And then we take care of those who are in need in our midst. And so we're encouraged tonight. Honor the widows. Take care of the widows and the widowers and those who are hurting and those who are distressed within the church. May we be encouraged in this high calling that God has given to us, living together as a family of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the encouragement of Thy Word tonight. And may we see what is truly important. And what is important is that we're caring for the Church of Christ. That we're caring for one another. We're caring for our family members, especially those who are hurting and struggling. Father, we pray tonight for widows and widowers who are hurting and distressed because of their loss, whether recently or long ago, like Anna, who was a widow. We pray, Father, that Thou will comfort them in their times of need. May they not worry about provision of earthly things, but trust that family and church will care for them. But also we pray, Father, that Thou wilt use our prayers, our comforting words and visits to encourage them as well. We thank Thee for families who do that and individuals who do that. And we pray that we would be encouraged to do this with one another, because this is honoring and glorifying to Thy name and important to Thee, our God. So strengthen us in it, that we may live together in this way as Thy family. Father, forgive us where we don't do this as we should. And forgive graciously the sins we have committed against Thee in this night. And dismiss us now with Thy blessing. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.